All in preparation for the challenges that lie ahead. This is a show that feeds the mind with inspiration and truth on the issues of the day. If it's important to your life, you'll find it here. Hosted by Malcolm Out Loud.
Well, are you a victor of circumstances or a victor of consequences? Think about it. You know, we talk a great deal about failure being good for you, but it's not like you wake up in the morning and say, okay, I'm gonna fail today. We simply tend to learn more from failure than success. They certainly are memorable moments in our life, aren't they now? It's Malcolm Out Loud. Welcome. This is Real Life, and we are on the brink today. Got a great show in production for you today. And, you know, I want to tell you a very personal story, a story about my mom. I have never shared this story publicly, but I'm going to share it today for you. And then I'm going to tell you about this victim victor business. And then I'm going to introduce you to a man that you must meet. I really like what I hear here. I've just met this man moments ago. We're going to have him on the show today. Lange Sermons Millionard. You're going to meet this man. He's born in Haiti. Again, he hit rock bottom and used his talents to pull himself up. And what a great story he's got. So I think you're going to enjoy this man as well. I want to start with this special story today about my mom. I've never shared this story before, but you know, we just went by a birthday. My mom, I think she'd be like 89 years old today, I was told. And it's hard to think the years have gone by that fast and that she's been gone that long now. So, you know, we lost mom when she was 76. And that was quite young, actually, especially since her mom lived to the upper 80s and her mom's mom lived, I think, about 90 or something like that. So, you know, longevity was in the family. And of course, we're all living longer today anyway than we were, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. That's the privilege now. People get to live even longer in life, you know. It's all what you do with that life, though, folks. It's not always the quantity of life. It's the quality of life. I'll tell you that right now. But let me tell you the story about mom. So, you know, my grandmother, her name was Bessie. And my grandmother was in her elder years before she had passed away again in her late 80s, a great lady. And she was sick, and you know, as a lot of people, at the very end of time, she was in a nursing home. And I remember my mom. Now, my mom was the matriarch. I mean, she had seven children. I'm one of seven. And she was one of seven herself. So, you know, she was the eldest in her family, and, you know, she had seven children. You know, you get the idea that mom was the matriarch. She understood what it was to keep family together and all. And, you know, I remember that when my grandmother, Bessie, was in the nursing home, my mother took care of everything, every detail, and was so on it. And we were all sort of really moved by the experience. I think when people get to that point where you can't take care of them, there are facilities that help do that, clearly. But we all try to keep, I think, our moms and grandmas, relatives at home when we can. And but at some point, that's the key. Well, many, many years later, my mom found herself in the same nursing home. And I remember that time. This was up in the Northeast now, and I had traveled back there across the country to be with mom in her final week of life. We knew things were not good. She was suffering from lung cancer. You see, my mom smoked for like 50-some-odd years. And as much as I told her, and I was a critic all the time about not smoking, she continued to smoke. And we pay a price for that today. And the young people that, you know, see that that happens and they still go out and smoke, I don't understand it. I also buried a sister, by the way, very young in her early 50s from smoking, lung cancer as well. So it's a very personal thing to me, clearly. But with mom, you know, I remember the moment being up in that nursing home with her and staying with her those few nights. And I slept in like a chair, you know, in a nursing home and sort of thing. They have these like lounge chairs in the corner, I guess, that, you know, probably for that purpose, I would imagine. I don't know. But, and I you know, stayed several nights with her, sleeping in that chair and trying to spend what time I could with her, talking about her life and did she have any regrets and where was she? And, you know, just really comforting her. And she's very aware of everything and talking. And, you know, and I remember she was in such denial in her life. She could not believe that her life had passed her by and that she was in the same home that my grandmother was, that Bessie was. And my mom's name was Shirley. So here Shirley was in the nursing home in the same exact place that my grandmother Bessie was. And what a moment that was. And I remember talking to mom and she was in such denial. She couldn't believe life had passed her by at that moment. And I said to her, Mom, if you could change anything in your life, what would you change? I asked her a lot of questions like that. I guess I did my own interview with her, more or less. But, you know, silly as that sounds, I wanted to know some things, you know. And Mom never really answered that question, or at least I'd never understood her to answer it honestly prior when I'd ask her that, or questions similar to that. And I'd asked her that question, and she looked at me and she said, "Malcolm, I would have quit smoking." I never could get Mom to admit that prior to that. She never would have admitted that. And now here she was on her deathbed, and she said, "Yeah, I would have never smoked in my life." You know, she recognized the danger and the damage it had done to her body, of course, at that moment of time. But I think the thing I take out of this is Mom waited till it was too late. She waited till, you know, very, very late in the game and had quit very, very late. I mean, she had quit prior to that, but it was too late. The damage was done. We all have a chance in our lives, friends, to be responsible for our bodies and our lives and to do the right things and to, you know, treat life the way it should be. It's precious. But I think the moment for me was when Mom was in that denial moment and shook her head and could not believe she was in the same nursing home that my grandmother Bessie was in. And it was just that moment of denial, realizing that life had passed her by. So folks, I want to ask you today, are you in the moment where life is passing you by? Oh, are you at a point where you're happy with where you're at? I mean, take a look at your life and look at the failures in your life. And are those failures leading you to some other hope and promise in your life? Are they bringing you to another moment that where you can be proud of again? You know, sometimes we have to fall down. I tell you that all the time before we succeed. Well, interestingly enough, I tell you this story today. And it's a story I've never told publicly about Mom and the confession that she gave me on her deathbed and the fact that she was in denial and could not believe. Don't let life pass you by this afternoon. Don't let it happen, you know. Well, I'm going to introduce you to a fellow this afternoon who I think will help us all understand and appreciate why we should not let life pass us by and why we should use those failures as steps to success. Lange Sermons Millionaire, special guest coming right at you right after the break. I want you to stay with me. It's a special show today. We're going to hear this man's voice and his ability to sing. He never thought he could sing. He does right on the show today. This is life. This is real life. And we're on the brink. Be right back with you. Well, we talk all the time about failure on this show. Every failure forward is a step to success, my friends. I tell you all the time this, and there's no way to get where you really need to get in life without falling down and failing. And, you know, I've often said to people and my friends and stuff, you know, I'm the biggest screw-up there is. And until I recognize that and recognize that each of these failures get us somewhere in life, I'll tell you what, and that should give you comfort this morning. That should give you comfort this afternoon. It should give you comfort this evening, you know, as you think about your own life and say, okay, where am I going? You know, where's the vision forward? Well, it's Malcolm Out Loud here. This is Real Life. I want to welcome you back to the show. And I have a special gentleman here I want to introduce you to. And what an incredible story this man has. I'm so fascinated to talk to him. I've just met him moments ago. And we talked just a few moments before this broadcast. And I said, you know, this is going to be very cool. So I want you to meet Lange Sermons Millionaire. And let me tell you a little bit about Lange. He was born in Haiti. He has become a recording artist. He is using his very, very unique story of desire to show a dream that can be lived as long as you stay resilient and never quit. And how many times do I say that to you all, you know? Again, he's a man who's known for the timbre of his voice. And when he speaks in a moment, you'll know what I'm saying. Very, very cool. How you doing, Lange?
I have never been better, Malcolm. How are you?
See, I like that. People, when I'm talking to somebody and they say to me, "I have never been better," I often say to myself, now, what does that really mean? Do they really mean they've never been better? Or does that mean they're living in the moment and they just feel so darn good at this moment? Which is it?
So I'm good in this moment.
Yeah, you're feeling good in this moment. I know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it needs to be. I think a lot of us make the mistake, Lange, of not living in the moment. You know, we think too far ahead or too far in the past, and we don't really live in the moment, do we?
I've learned a lot about this, and I've been so humble lately by learning all these things. Usually, I used to live in the past. If not in the past, I live too far ahead of in the present. So I never even had a chance to live the moment. So all these things I had to learn to do. And I'm a happy guy right now.
Yeah, no, it's so important. I've lost track of that myself, Lange. I mean, in my life, you know what it is, brother, I want to share with you and share with everybody. I talk about it all the time on my shows and my platform. But I think one of the big key things in life when you wake up every morning is to have gratitude for no matter what is going on. And this is hard to do sometimes, but if you can wake up in the morning and have gratitude for some part of your life or some part of your being, I think you're way ahead at that point, aren't you?
Yes, but all these things I've learned the hard way. Why? Because I've took everything in my life for granted until 5 years ago.
Amen. Yeah. All right, let me tell folks a little bit of your story. You were a highly successful New York real estate investor who lost it all in the market crash. You hit rock bottom, I believe it was about 2008, 2009. And you went back to the drawing board of life. And haven't we all been there before? I mean, many of us have been there, brother, so we can understand. And you reinvented yourself, as I say, using your God-given talents. And poof, you became an actor, landing roles in movies like Full Sail Academy and in live theater productions such as Porgy and Bess. And you can hear with your voice how you would work so well in that production. I've seen Porgy and Bess in New York, and I've seen it in a couple of cities, actually, in Florida as well. Another one, The Great White Hope, Othello, and King Lear. So you've been in some very interesting productions.
Yes.
But this kind of all happened accidentally, from what I understand. And before we get the metrics of success and what that all means, I just wanted people to know a little bit about you. Bring me back in your story now to where you were at the best moment, where you had all these millions of dollars of investments and what have you as a successful New York real estate. Give me a little glimpse in our audience as to what was going on at that point of your life, brother.
At that point of my life, I used to live in New York, me and my family, and I had many properties in New York and buildings that was rental buildings, and I had properties in Georgia, Jacksonville, Orlando, Miami, all over, and even Texas. And I was doing great. And when I started losing everything that I had, my only resource was a restaurant that I had in Jacksonville. I said, this one here, I'm going to keep, and took care of it. And I don't care about anything else, but that was my plan B. So right after I spent close to $750,000 in that restaurant, boom, I went down flat with it. And I could never recover. But I had moved my family here in Orlando, and I didn't come here to work 9 to 5, you know. And while I was doing great and busy, I was in a restaurant, I was in a hotel. I was on the phone speaking, but I noticed a gentleman was on the phone waiting, and he was just waiting impatiently. As soon as I hang up the phone, he walked up to me and told me, asked me, sir, excuse me, do you sing? I told him, no, that I'm not a singer, I'm an entrepreneur. And he just literally pulled a pen and a piece of paper and wrote down the phone number of a record company, and he rushed. And I looked at the piece of paper. He wrote his name, but nothing else. Then I called him. I said, hey, but what about your phone number? He rushed back, wrote down his phone number, and rushed out again. But he stopped and turned around. And he said something I will never forget. He said, listen, sir, don't forget to invite me in your first concert. And I was And I folded the piece of paper and put it in my briefcase. And
Now stop right there a moment. When that happened, I love what you say when he turned around and said that to you. I mean, this man was obviously very, very confident that you would get somewhere with this. Well, whatever, he's seen something in you. Again, you know, when that happened, number one, did you believe it was for real? And number two, how long did it take for you to act on that, Lange?
I acted upon it just because I have lost my restaurant. I fell on my back. I was flat on my back, and I had nothing else to lose, nowhere to go. So, and I didn't want to work 9 to 5. Then I recall this guy told me about this. Then that's when I said, I'm going to work to try to do something with my voice. But I have to also tell you that my self-confidence was always low. due to the fact that my family and friends used to put me down. So I never had a self-confidence. But strangers like this guy, that stranger, that guardian angel like you, like stranger that I've met, that would tell me, wow, you sound like James Earl Jones. You sound like Barry White. Can you sing? But those people, they always instill some seed inside of me. Mm-hmm. So I built on these things. I said to my friends that, hey, I'm going to do something with my voice. And what they said is they started laughing at me and told me to go back to New York and try to drive yellow cab because they're making money. I said, hell no. Then I caught all these guys off, and I had a couple of close relatives that I'm counting on, that I count on. And I start talking to them about the change that I wanted to make with my life. And they start laughing and make fun of me. I caught them off too. So I embark in that journey, and I look up the internet, and that's when I found a lady that does voiceover. And I took voiceover speech and acting from her, and before you know it, I'd landed nice acting.
Well, you did. I mean, you were in some very good productions and movies in theater. Now, are you still doing some of the acting now, Lange?
Actually, I was in a commercial just last Friday.
You're still out there as a talent in that,
yes.
In your voice. And I know you've got some songs you're singing. We're gonna actually play one for our audience today too, so they can hear a little bit of your voice. Which by the way, I listened to it. Old Man River is very, very good. You sound great in there. Just tell me the time period again when that man gave you that phone number that day. At that moment, did you believe that was for real? Yes or no?
No, because I never had no.
Exactly,
not at all.
Exactly. But not you held on. But hold on. You held on to the paper for some reason. And how much time went by before you made that call?
I would say close to 2 years.
That's what I thought, brother. That's what I thought. And the reason I ask you is it was one time not too far back here. Somebody gave me a phone number on a piece of paper in the same way and told me to call them about an acting gig or something. It wasn't singing, obviously, but I don't know that I have a singing voice. But they knew I could sort of act, and they thought I was acting already, and they gave me the number. And I never kept it because I didn't believe in it. And, you know, maybe I would be your brother in a movie somewhere if I had listened to that voice, huh?
Hope so. I really hope so.
Well, we are talking here to Lange Sermons Millionard, and what an incredible story. And I want to talk more about the success metric, success being no accident in our lives. I want to talk about some of the obstacles we've been through, how we can all improve. I am looking forward to talking more with Lange. It's Malcolm Aloud here. This is Real Life. We'll be right back with more life. And we are back with you, folks. So welcome back to the show. This is Real Life, and this is Malcolm Aloud here. We're talking success today and having some real fun with it. What a great story this is from Lange Sermons Millionard. And Lange Sermons Millionard. Say that fast three times. Lange Sermons Millionard. Lange Sermons Millionard. How you doing, Lange?
I have never been better, Michael. Malcolm, how's you? No.
Hey, listen, I pronounced your name before coming on to make sure I didn't mess it up, didn't I?
You sure did.
Yeah, Elon said to me, now, do you think you have a problem with that? And I said, no, I'm just a perfectionist. I want to make sure we get it right, didn't I?
Yes.
Yeah. So listen, what a story. So here's a man who has it all. He's a New York real estate investor. He has market share, you know, in many different areas of the country, living life. Things are going well. You know, we come through the whole 9/11 chapter in the 2000s. And then 2008, not so kind. We had a real problem with recession coming in. And that was at the end of the Bush presidency and the beginning of the Obama presidency. It was very difficult for a lot of people, as you might remember out there, folks. And then Lange hit rock bottom in 2009, trying to hold on to the one restaurant he had in Jacksonville, and then losing it all and just being starting again. But you know, the thing is, and what I want everybody to take from this, while a lot of people didn't believe Lange, and people who knew him would sometimes chuckle, probably behind his back and maybe sometimes even in front of him, I don't know. But I think, you know, you never, and you're so right, Lange, when you said that sometimes your confidence gets hit. And that's a real problem we all have, friends, is when you lose your self-confidence. This is a real problem, isn't it, Lange?
Of course, I can talk about this by experience, because all my childhood, I never thought I was worth nothing. That's why I've been confused. I never knew what I wanted. Actually, I would say all the money that I had, I was chasing the money, really. But when I had, after this guy gave me that number and I start being an, I've been an actor, I feel like I have found myself. For the past 5 years, I feel like I have found myself. And I have this guy to thank for this.
Well, the one thing, that's exactly right. The one thing I can tell you in just meeting you just moments ago, and probably our audience can see this as well, is see, you have a great spirit about you. You are a real person that has just a tremendous spirit and a love for life, and you can feel that through the microphone here. You understand?
I do, but it wasn't always like this. It's
Okay. All right, so let's talk about how you got there and what happened, and how did you make this transition in life to get that confidence back? How do you get over these obstacles? Give us some ideas here.
The first thing I did was cut off all the negative friends, stay away from my surrounding, the old ones. I used to travel to New York every 2 weeks to have my hair done, my nails done, showing off. I cut all this. I couldn't do them anyway in the first place because I was broke at that point. So I changed my phone number, cut them off. Family members that are negative, I cut them off, and I stay to myself. And when I have found myself, what I like, and I was happy, and I just do everything I had to do, one step at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, and I stay confident and happy.
Wow. So you stayed in the moment. And what I've never heard, what I liked of what you just said too, is you even went to the point of, you have to make change in your life. Change is important for all of us. And it's important for us to not live in the past, but to learn from the past. I have a rule I often tell my friends out here in my audience, and I want to tell you, Lange, right now. I call it the 90-10 rule, okay? And that is, in your rearview mirror, you should only live 10% of the time. In other words, use your past and your history as it should be used, as an experience, as a stepping stone. But use the front mirror, the front window, 90% of the time. Live for today and tomorrow, not yesterday. And what do you say about that?
That's right. I used to live in the past. But there's another thing. When you really want to do something, you always find a reason to do it. But when you don't, you will always find an
Well,
excuse.
that's it, brother. No, that's it. That's it. When people say to you, "I don't have time," what that means, Lange, is they don't want to do it.
They don't want to do it
Yeah, we
because.
all have time. So anybody who's using that excuse, "We don't have time," you're just lying. You have all the time in the world. Everyone's got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365. And you're here on this planet, you got time. So
Just
don't
like.
tell me you don't have time, right?
Just like all the big heroes, we're talking about Einstein, we're talking about all the big presidents, all the great people up there, they all had time and they did what they had to do with their time. But me, I used to be a lazy guy. I wouldn't do anything. I don't even take trash out when I had wives and everything. They do everything that need to be done. I was spoiled and I took all these things for granted. And when I fell, I've learned, my brother. I have learned.
And you do learn. Sometimes you have to crash and fall down. I've been there myself, brother, and I have been there to have to pick up the pieces. And and sometimes it's by the grace of God and your ability to get your confidence back and to be able to move forward with dignity. But sometimes also you have to shut those voices off. Like when you changed your phone number, you were saying, "Okay, I've had enough. And I'm not going to take this negativity anymore. I'm going to move forward under my own will and my own power to do some good things." That was a big moment for you, wasn't it?
That's right. And it felt so good because in the first place, when I was around my friend, those old friends talking about women all the time, showing off, buying expensive cars, expensive watch. By the way, I bought a watch for $15,000 and I lost it because I couldn't pay $900. I lost a $15,000 watch because I couldn't, in a pawn shop, because I couldn't pay, because they were trying to repossess my truck.
Yeah. Listen, I've been there myself where I've had to sell things through, you know, things like Craigslist and other places to make a buck to pay the electric bill, right?
Yes, we all have been there.
And we've been there, buddy. We've been there. This is called life. This is, and this is what I call real life. And your life is a real life.
Oh, I love it.
One of the things you told me during the break here is that you want to become a motivational speaker. And, you know, I love speaking. I love motivational speaking, inspiring people to be the very best that they can be. One of the greatest prides I have is, and successes, I love this Brink of Greatness. It's a web portal which celebrates the human spirit and the good things in life. And you know, I sit here and I visualize. You know what I say to myself as I talk to you, Lange? I think, you know what? And I know you want to be a motivational speaker, right?
Yes.
You know what I'd like to see? Wouldn't it be cool if I got on stage, Malcolm Out Loud, with Lange Sermons Millionard, and we did a speech together somewhere, yeah?
That would be great. That would be so awesome.
Wouldn't that be cool? I have a vision of that just ahead here, but and how we do that. Well, listen, I'm going to play for folks a song that I have. I've got a file in from his a firm, his PR firm, on one of his songs. And I want to play that for you when we get back after the break, folks, so you can hear the voice of Lange Sermons Millionard. And you know what? I'm going to ask him to hang with me into this next segment. Why? Because I'm having a great time, and I hope you are too. It's real life, friends. We'll be right back with you. We are back with you here. This is Real Life, and we are on the brink this afternoon here. It's Malcolm Out Loud, and we are talking with quite the gentleman, Lange Sermons Millionard. And he's been here in the States for about 35 years. He was born in Haiti, and very, very unique story. He told you the story, if you didn't hear that, in the first segment where, you know, he was at a hotel and somebody had come up and given him a phone number. And 2 years later, he absolutely called the number. He had hit rock bottom, and his own story is very, very unique. You know, with the market crash in 08 and 09, that impacted a lot of people, friends. And he was one of the men, and he learned life, I think the hard way, or I think we learned from our failures moving forward. So we've been talking to Lange, and I've been telling you, he didn't even know he was a gifted singer. You didn't even know that, did you, Lange?
No, people would tell me, but I never had enough confidence to believe in it.
Because everything is confidence.
Keeps telling me that, oh, please, and, you know, your friends and family. So
everything in life is confidence, and you know. But you didn't even realize, and obviously somebody heard that in you. And I love when you said last hour there, last segment, you said, "Oh, and you know the guy turned around and said, oh, and let me know when you know do this because I want to be in the theater listening to you, right?"
He told me also he's a guitarist. He played guitar.
I see. Do you still know this man today or no?
You please. His name is Joe Krapek. I saw him on Facebook. I tried to befriend the guy. He never even remembered. I don't think he remembered any of this. He wouldn't even give me. He wouldn't even return my friendship. If you could do anything, his name is Joe Krapek.
Wow.
He lives in the Orlando area. I've seen him on Facebook. I believe he may even forget what this is.
But you never connected with him again then?
Never. Never.
Isn't that something? Just a moment. And so you kind of referenced to me in the break that he was sort of like your guardian angel, huh?
That's all it can be. I would never be here without this guy. You wouldn't be speaking to me right now.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny?
I wouldn't even be here.
We should get him and do a whole segment with him and you. That would be fun, man. If you ever, I don't know, like it's kind of odd. He obviously hasn't been able to connect back with you or doesn't realize how he has impacted your life, huh?
Please, Malcolm, I'll leave this up to you to find this guy. Like I said, his name is Joe Krapek. He's a guitarist. He lives here in Orlando.
Well, I'll tell you what. You email me his information later on, and let me give it a stab and see if I can't track him down. Okay.
The worst thing about it is after 2 years, when I called him,
right,
his phone was changed. When I called that record company, nobody picked up the phone for it, and I don't know what to say.
Now what happens if I call him and we find out that he doesn't exist? He was really an angel. Then what do we do, brother?
that would be impossible because. No.
Hey, hold on. Nothing's impossible. He would be. Hey, hold on. He would be an angel with a Facebook account, right?
I saw him on Facebook.
Yeah?
I saw him on Facebook.
Oh, you are just a delight, man. I'm so glad to meet you today, Lange. Just terrific here.
Thank you, listen, man.
Let me play a little bit of the music. I promised everybody to hear you. So everybody, just sit back, relax a minute, and just take about, a little bit of time here, 20, 30 seconds. I want to play a little bit of the song from Lange. Have a voice, and you know he's been on Porgy and Bess, The Great White Hope, Othello, King Lear, movie, Full Sail Academy. So you've been doing acting and theater, but one of your dreams you told me just a while ago is you really want to be a motivational speaker as well, right?
Oh yes.
So I said to you,
I've done it in a small level because I've changed people's lives on a one-to-one basis. Mm-hmm. But not in a big crowd, a big stage.
I'd love to do a speech with you. It would be fun to do a little a tour with you and do. The cool thing about Orlando is it's a big convention town, isn't it?
I am confident we would lift up many lives.
Oh, we could have some fun. I mean, and you know, the two of us on stage together, we'd probably go back and forth and say, okay, and you know, we'd have a contest saying, okay, so who is the biggest screw up here? Was it Lange or Malcolm?
I would pull my flag way up.
Yeah, well, we go back and forth, man. We say, okay, well, what do we do to persevere, man? You know, so that's it. All right, so let's talk about it from a motivational standpoint, mm-hmm. helping mm-hmm. folks this afternoon. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people, people have suffered through market crashes. They've suffered through personal crises. They've suffered through all kinds of things. Tell me, Lange, when you're down and really down, when you hit that bottom, and we know what that feels like, how do you keep going? Help people out there understand. What do they grab onto? What do they hold onto? What is it?
The first thing is you have to have that burning desire inside of you. And do not be afraid to fail. I've learned the hard way that failure is your friend. Don't be afraid to fail. Because I remember everything that I started, I never finished because I was afraid to fail. Now I enjoy embarrassed myself now. That's how much I don't care.
Right,
you know,
right.
Don't be afraid to fail. That's what I'm trying to say. I let me give you one story. I went to a broadcasting school.
Right.
They pulled me inside of the booth. We had about 9-10 kids, students in there. They asked me to say my name and where do I live? Malcolm, I wouldn't open my mouth to say my name. That's how shy I was.
That's hard to believe, talking to you now. Hard to believe.
It's hard to believe for me too. But now look, I've been singing in church in front of hundreds.
Oh, you like to sing in church, do you?
Oh gosh.
Cool. I love to see that. Do you sing regularly in church or just occasionally?
Occasionally. Now,
I'll tell you, one of the times you sing to church over there in Orlando, I want to come see you. You got to let me know when that is. I'll come over on a Sunday and see you. I will.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, I will do it. I will do it.
I'm working on it right now. I'll let you know. Or if you have a church that is looking for somebody to sing, and you know what? I want to sing the national anthem also. Oh, my God.
Have you sung the national anthem?
I've learned it. I know it so well. I'm waiting for somebody.
Oh, man. That's a hard song. That's a hard song to sing, too, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all these.
All right, hold on now. Take one second. Give me the lyrics. Can you sing a few seconds of it now, the national anthem?
Of the national anthem?
I'll put you right on the spot. Yeah, can you just maybe, or does that put you too much on the spot?
Don't do that to me, Malcolm.
You know what? Well, you know what they say in the business? Hold on. You know what they say in the business, brother? Put your money where your mouth is.
No, I got the brain freeze and I forgot everything about it.
Well, you know, it's funny. When you do get put on the spot, you tend to forget. That's a hard song to sing, you know?
Yes, I learned it so well. I want to sing that so bad.
Really? Well, I think you will then. You obviously want to, so you will at some point.
I sure will.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. So,
can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming?
Woo!
For you?
I didn't think you were going to do it, brother, but you did.
My mind was frozen for a minute. You know, that's what it was.
You're gonna come after me later on and say, Malcolm, how dare you put me on the spot like that? You got some nerve, man.
Like that was said, good. I don't even care to embarrass myself now. If it's good, it's good. If it's not, I just don't care.
Well, you said a moment ago, though, you don't even care if you get embarrassed. So that's a good sign. That's a good
failure
sign.
Failure is your friend. That's what all of us have to learn. Don't be afraid to fail.
Don't be afraid to fail. That is the biggest thing I've got from you today in so many ways. And, you know, back to, you know, those who are down and out, when you get up in the morning, I talk about gratitude. But, you know, and you say you have to have that burning fire, right, Lunge? Yeah?
Of course.
And you know what I want to add to that, the burning fire? You have to appreciate that you're here in this life for a reason, okay? And every day we're here on this beautiful planet Earth in the middle of this gargantuan universe has got to be a blessing for each and every one of us, isn't it?
I want to tell you something about this. Just before I get where I am, or before I was successful, I always keep thinking, is it what my life is all about? Am I going to spend my life useless like this? And because I never knew what I wanted to do with my life. But up to this point, I know. Listen to me. Some people are destined to succeed. But some of us...
That's it, buddy. That's it. And that's exactly... And I've known all my life, Lange, I'm going to succeed because I want to, because it's destiny.
But some of us are determined.
Absolutely. All right. Let me tell folks again, Lange Sermons Millionard, and that's the man. I've been so thrilled to talk to this afternoon. We will do this again, I am sure. Folks, thanks for joining me this afternoon. It's been good to have you here. Again, this is Real Life, and you are on the brink. It's Malcolm Out Loud. Remember, get involved, get loud.